This is a Christian Science extemporaneous prayer treatment. The website is mbeinstitute.org. There are various buttons at the bottom of every page which enable one to find out information about the Institute and the website. There is also a very extensive menu in the top left corner of every page, and the header, which is the top section of every page, includes a variety of links to some of the most popular pages on the website. The topic of this extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute is reality. 360 model filter. Mary Baker Eddy says that since we are barraged constantly with suggestions of evil, that we should have a model that we can go to as an anchor so that we can immediately dispel any power that an evil suggestion tries to assign to itself when it entices a lax mortal thought. The first thing one wants to do is to make sure that their thought is not lax. We always need to be alert to make sure that we can detect at the very onset of any suggestion that it is ungodlike and immediately revert to a model that we can either create on the fly or refer to something that is already embedded in thought. The more that we have embedded in thought that are quick phrases that will dispel and reject any entrance by something that is ungodlike, the better it is. The purpose of this prayer treatment will be to give some suggestions on how we can, number one, think about something that is a particular phrase or definition from the textbook, Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, and how we can think about that in the way that it could be referring to ourselves and all mankind. Just making a statement that is floating around is not as good as if we can link it to something that relates to our own thought and also to reflect it out into the atmosphere of universal facts that can be of benefit to anyone with an open consciousness to receive goodness on any particular topic. Spirit gives us the power so that we can reflect it, as long as we are thinking in a flawless manner and are transparent, we have the ability to reflect it out into the universe of good thoughts. In the glossary, page 591, it defines man as being the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. Mind is defined on the same page as the only I or us, the one spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love. the one God, not that which is in man, but the divine principle or God of which man is the full and perfect expression, deity, which outlines but is not outlined. Miracle, that which is divinely natural, but must be learned humanly. A phenomenon of science. Morning, light, symbol of truth, revelation, and progress. Let's take a look at just these definitions so far. The definition of man refers to spirit and mind. We know spirit is flawless, transparent, and therefore reflective. And we know that mind is without any limit whatsoever. It is all faculty, all facility, all functionality. It is all intelligence, all wisdom, all knowing. It is all power. It is omnipresent. It is omni-action. Just realize that man reflects all of this. It says man is the full representation of mind. Since there is no limit to infinity, and mind is infinite, everything is possible, as long as it is in alignment with the qualities of God. We only have one thing to do in order to be able to enjoy the power of infinite mind. That is to keep our activities in alignment with God, good, spirit. We don't have to be exercising a body for strength. Mary Baker Eddy said that if someone measured her as a human, she would be considered very frail. But she was the most powerful woman that ever lived. Look what she did. She built an empire of goodness, an empire of spirit, an empire of healing, an empire that reflected the intelligent wisdom and knowing of mind, the flawlessness, transparency of spirit, the spiritual sense of spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smell or aroma, perfect, beautiful aroma of smell, a structure built on spirit with a system that operated with infinite capacity, a life that was always energized with spirit, not limited to the finiteness of matter, the truth that was always on track. And she reminded herself every hour of the day to stay on track. And the love that overcame every morsel of the attacks of hatred that was pointed in her direction from day one. Day one, when she was still working on her first edition of Science and Health between the years of 1866 and 1875, where she was thrown out on the street in the cold of winter, to the day that she decided the best was to leave because they were going to attempt to commit her to an insane asylum in order to get control of the church and therefore void the provisions of the manual in the view of a judge that stated that they needed her approval to continue the important features of the operation of the church, when the real fact is that she wanted those provisions to self-expire when she was not available to sign any and every document that would be required to sign to approve them on an interval that was specified by her. She is like the founding fathers of America. When asked what kind of structure did they create for America, and Benjamin Franklin said, a republic, if you can keep it. And she structured a self-expiring physical bureaucracy that would expire when she was no longer here, if they could keep it. But they didn't. They didn't keep it. Just like America did not keep the republic. The humanity, which has a built-in set of parameters that are guided by an evil mortal mind with greed and the desire to control others, those items overtook the representatives of the people, such that the American government became totally corrupt. And the day Mary Baker Eddy decided to leave, they removed her picture from the book, the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. They thought they could destroy the truth by separating the discoverer from the discovery. All they did was destroy it from their own benefit. Instead of being able to enjoy the power that comes from letting mind be the guide of our every thought, speech, and action, they diverted to letting mortal mind be their guide. Let that be a warning to us. If we want to self-destruct, all we have to do is to ignore the laws of God. When Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment of all? He answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Simple. The formula for success is so simple that people can't see what is so obvious. Are we living a life of giving or a life of taking? We all know within our hearts what we're doing. Are we thinking about ourselves or thinking about others? The great genius of Christian Science, Frederick L. Rosen, said we're on this earth for the purpose of making other people happy. Not the one you see in the mirror, but other people, everyone else except ourselves. And ourselves, we individually will benefit beyond what can be described if we do exactly that, by focusing on the joy and happiness and well-being of everyone else. And forget about ourselves, because we will automatically be taken care of, just like Solomon was, the son of David, the one that slew Goliath. He asked God to give him the wisdom to properly govern his people. And because he asked for the benefit of others, he enjoyed every possible convenience on a human basis that could be described. In fact, it was beyond description. Because not only did he have what is considered material wealth, but everyone that was in his kingdom, that was with him in the castle, was happy. They overflowed with individual joy, as was testified to by the Queen of Sheba when she visited. She couldn't believe it. She said his wealth is beyond what was described, because in addition to having the material wealth, everyone was totally happy, joyful, elated. They were thrilled by just being in the fold of the man that put other people first. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they seemed like they really wanted to talk, and you purposely did not interrupt? You let them just talk and talk and talk and talk. I was in a conversation with someone, and he talked for about 2 hours. I probably talked 1% of the time. He talked 99%, I would say. And when it was all over, he complimented me because he enjoyed the conversation so much. A joke, a real joke, because he was doing all the talking. I asked a very good friend of mine that was an excellent practitioner, and I was close friends with her for 20 years, and I asked her how she conducted herself in dealing with a patient. And she said, when they call me, I let them talk until they're done. And when we close the call, she has to devote up to maybe 30 minutes removing from her thought almost every detail that they expounded to her. 30 minutes. Anything that we let into thought, if it's not absolutely pure, we need to get out. We need to get it out. We need to cleanse our thought of everything that's not absolutely pure. So she had to spend up to 30 minutes it takes to do that. But she felt like it was necessary to let them give the details of what was on their thought. Otherwise, they would not feel that they had given enough information for the problem to be healed, when the opposite is the truth. So that's what she needed to do. And then she would go to work to find the exact opposite of anything they mentioned that could be identified as a problem. Because that's the only way to heal, is to find the problem and reverse the claim. Getting back to definitions from the glossary, the very next definition is mortal mind. Nothing claiming to be something, for mind is immortal. Mythology, error, creating other errors, a suppositional material sense. Alas, the belief that sensation is in matter, which is sensationless. A belief that life, substance, and intelligence are in and of matter, the opposite of spirit, and therefore the opposite of God or good. The belief that life has a beginning and therefore an end. The belief that man is the offspring of mortals. That there can be more than one creator. Idolatry, the subjective states of error, material sense, that which neither exists in science nor can be recognized by the spiritual sense. Sin, sickness, death. We don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. There is nothing about mortal mind that is constructive. It operates by deceit and by utilizing decoys. It attempts to mock truth. It attempts to mock reality. It attempts to mock immortal mind, which is the only real mind. Everything about it is finite. It has no power unless we give it power. And what kind of power could we give evil? The only power we can give evil is a power that has no foundation, which means it's nothing. It is an absence of power. It is an absence of intelligence, an absence of any kind of good. There's no substance in it. There's no wisdom in it. It appears to be omnipresent, but that's only in belief, not in fact. Truth is what is omnipresent. In fact, eternal life is omnipresent. In fact, but that's life with a capital L. That's life that is reflecting the qualities of God. Life is living the qualities of God. A false sense of life is sensation. Sensation in matter. Mary Baker Eddy describes it as being temporal. Why does it even deserve the word temporal? Because it's temporal when we give it any thought whatsoever. Otherwise, it's non-existent. Wentworth Winslow, another excellent practitioner, he raised a boy from the dead, from the belief of death. He said, think about yourself being in a room that has a telephone that it's ringing its head off, just doing everything possible to entice you to pick it up and listen, to corrupt your consciousness, to make your consciousness believe that it is real. Or you feel sorry for it and you want to help it. It's a trick. It's a decoy. It's delusion. It's deceit. So you've got the telephone there ringing its head off trying to get your attention. And you've got a radio. Those are the only two things in the room. The radio is tuned in to station KOG, Kingdom of God. And what do you think it's doing? It is announcing the truth about God, the truth about man, which is the image and likeness of God, and is included with the source, because it is the manifestation of the source. There can't be a source unless the source has a manifestation. There can't be a manifestation unless there's a source. They are unified. One cannot exist without the other. So what do we want to listen to when we're in a room with two choices? The good or the bad, the beautiful or the ugly. It's an easy choice if we realize what the effect is from each one. If we're ignorant to what the result will be when we listen to evil, then we are very apt to fall for the enticement, because it comes with a cover that conceals the truth about it, and on the surface it looks like it's irresistible. Irresistible. The source of blackmail. You will be involved in all kinds of evil acts, and it will be recorded and used against you. That's how evil operates. It deceives you into believing that it is the greatest thing in the world, but it's the worst possible. No one can even visualize how bad it is until they are entwined in its tentacles. This is why we need to have a model that is 360 degrees of filter to not permit a single element of mortal mind or matter, both of which are beliefs, not reality, get into our consciousness. Because if we let it in, we're in a trap. And it is not easy to erase all of the features that come with it. It is such a terrible picture that it makes an impression on thought that makes it extremely challenging to erase it. Like the practitioner told me, it could take her 30 minutes. And she was an extremely spiritual person. Outside of my mother, I've never met anyone that had such a pure thought. And my mother glowed like a rose in full bloom with the fragrance that was beyond description. She was the perfect example of a life of giving. A perfect example of a true messenger from God. So we have a choice. If you go to the G's in the glossary, you will find the definition of God. The great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. And the definition of good, which is God, spirit, omniscience, which includes omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing, and omnipresence, and omni-action. And I realize that I've already given you that definition. So what do we want? What do we want as a permanent quality? Because sensation disappears very quickly. It's a momentary thrill that's not worth 3 cents or 2 cents or 1 cent. Anything that we receive based on sensational enticement is worthless. Totally worthless. Because what do you do when it's over? The moments that are devoted to it seem like heaven, but it has no lasting value. None. Do we want to build on sand? The first little ripple that comes along that's just a little bit bigger than what the height is of our sandcastle that we built so carefully will flatten it. Totally wipe it out. mean, you can be guaranteed it would be wiped out every day when the tide comes in. That is, if it lasts that long. The scientific statement of being says there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind. And its infinite manifestation for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God. And man is God's image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Spiritual. Not material. Spiritual. If you've done any mathematics about moving objects, and by that I mean like a vehicle that is going down the road at a certain speed, and let's say you have two of them that are at the same starting point, and the first one takes off, and you let it travel for some period of time, and then the other one takes off and goes twice the speed of the first one. And of course, it depends on the numbers that are involved. But it is a surprise how long it takes for the second one that left from the starting point, going twice the speed of the first one, before it can catch up. Do we want to be the first one out of the starting blocks? With a goal of getting some kind of fast pleasure? Or do we want to be the second one that builds on a strong foundation that always wins the race? It's like the race between the turtle and the rabbit. They take off at the same time, and the rabbit goes like wildfire. But it gets tired, so it goes along the side of the road and lays down and goes to sleep. In the meantime, the turtle walks right on by and gets to the finish line first. It may take a long time to catch up, as the example was showing, when something else starts off first. But in this case, the turtle didn't go twice as fast. It went a fraction of the speed, but it was steady. It was building a solid foundation. We want to make sure we have that filter working so that we don't let anything into consciousness that is not of a pure foundation. We need to think about, what is God? What is man? What is a miracle? Those who do not understand the healings of Jesus thinks that they were miracles. They weren't. They were natural. Because he was automatically thinking in the realm of spirit. He knew everything was possible with God. So he wasn't concerned about any of them. We can go forward without any kind of fear if we build on a foundation of principle. If we follow what Mary Baker Eddy says in the textbook on page 330, she says there are 32 planks to the platform. And if we live our life with the letter and the spirit, then we will be successful. You can't be successful if you have one without the other. The letter and the spirit. The spirit is having a life of giving. The letter is knowing what the rules are. You have to have that lubricant of love so that everything fits together smoothly and silently. And then the lubricant that enabled the silence and everything to work together smoothly gives you assurance of success. We cannot afford to go without the lubricant. Imagine two wheels with all these notches in it, which are the gears. And they're rotating and they interlock with each other. If we try to operate it without having any lubricant, we're going to hear terrible noise. And eventually something will freeze up. So we can't do that. We have to have it operating smoothly all the time. We have to be giving instead of taking. We have to be thinking of others instead of ourselves. We'll automatically be taken care of if we get ourselves out of the way and don't think about ourselves. Think about the other individual. How can we benefit them? How can we bless them? And we don't leave anyone out. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that God is all. There is nothing but God. And of course, that includes God's manifestation, which is us. Every one of us. Mary Baker Eddy tells us that God is both the Father and the Mother, which means that He gives the courage, the strength, the perseverance, which are the fatherhood characteristics, and He enables us to be tender and kind and loving, nurturing where things need to be nurtured to bring it to fulfillment. We have to do both. We have to know the letter and we have to follow the Spirit. have the spiritual atmosphere that surrounds everything that we do in the letter. And then we have a winning formula. Mary Baker Eddy gave her metaphysical college class 7 prayer treatments called the Diapason of Heaven. One will be selected and recited, and that will close this prayer treatment. Since the focus of this prayer treatment has been based on making sure we have a pure foundation, I will recite the Diapason of Heaven with a focus on principle. We must hallow this word principle as a name for God. Declare often, there is only one principle, and this is my infinite, all-present, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-acting, all-loving principle. Principle is my God, and my God is divine principle. Good is my principle, and my principle is good. Divine principle is enthroned in my consciousness as my God. Persons and personal sense are not enthroned. This is the word of God. Declare all the truths you know about principle. Principle as God must be subjective in your consciousness. Claim this revealed principle as yours and as your subjective thought. This ever operative, unvarying, enduring, governing, exhaustless, sustaining principle is enthroned. So-called mortal laws are inoperative and unreal. Amen. It is presently 25:08:20 at 12:13. That is August the 20th, and it is Wednesday. The title of this treatment has been Reality 360 Model Filter. Thank you for listening. This is the end.